Welcome back to Killer Fun, where we explore the intersection of crime and entertainment every other week. I'm Chrissy, and today, more outtakes for you. Jackie and I have so much to say when we record. It doesn't all make it in the episode, so here's some outtakes just for you, never before heard. We have lots and lots of great stuff. We have outtakes from our episode on Killing Eve, our episode on Memento, and our episode on Crime Scene about the Cecil Hotel. There's so much good content here. The first stuff we're going to talk about is Killing Eve. Our episode on Killing Eve was released on February 18th of 2021, and here are all the things that didn't fit. We have so many flubs. A little lamenting over what was required during some of our COVID recording. We tried to record together as much as we could, but didn't always happen. We talk about the title cards in Killing Eve. Is the Purple Penguin a place you can eat? Can you really get that throw from Liliana Rosari? Femoral arteries, and so much more.
Check.
Okay. Yeah. I'll figure it out. You will. We can never get the
I know.
We can never because get the claps no. together. There's a little bit of a delay, and so
yeah, I know.
Whatever, it's fine. All right.
I think if I were to describe Demure, I would not characterize If I were to describe what am I saying? Describe? If I were to describe If I were to describe myself, I would not describe myself as demure. I typically, I'm not even like attracted to demure people. That's not even a good way to say that. I am screwing up all over the place. I'm just hold on. Let me start over.
That's fine. Oh, see, and I see demure as more like diminutive, you know, they're a little like submissive.
Yeah.
I think diminutive and submissive are opposites. Actually, now that I say that, submissive is what I mean. Lucy Mangan from The Guardian. She said, I thought I wanted to say that part and I don't. So I'm going to scoot on to the next part. That it has a snapping, crackling script. Let me say that again. It has a snacking.
It's not a snacking script.
I mean, you can snack while you watch it, but it's not a snacking script.
Thanks for sticking with us through that little break. All right. So if you are new to the show, you might not need. Let me go back.
The script that really. Excuse me. It took me by surprise.
All right.
So it was admiration. So, and because this does not fit into any of our normal categories, I'm going to talk about this quickly right here. So in the title cards where it says Killing Eve, there's these blood drips.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
I love them.
I love them too. And I was like, what do they mean? So somebody on Reddit also wondered what they meant. And Golden Ninja Dragon is a graphic designer for a living, and he was really curious, so he asked Matt Wiley, who was the designer for that sequence, what it meant. He said, I just wanted variation each episode. There are three characters where the negative shapes make sharp points, which I thought the drips worked well on. So a different color combination, each episode, and alternating characters for the drip. They don't have a meaning. They're just cool.
Hey, you know what? That's okay.
Yeah. Well, and exactly. But, you know, sometimes people will have this tendency to want to, like, dig down into this stuff. They want to, like...
Well, yeah. What well, because an mean? Artist might have a meaning to it, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there might be a motivation or something. Sometimes it's Art Deco, and Art Deco is just okay as Art Deco.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
but exactly. But sometimes there really is, like, a motivation. So I'm glad that they did that, because I was kind of curious to know if it was paired for a reason. Like, oh, is this episode focused on, right? Like, based on, and no, that's good. That's cool.
Does the K go with Villanelle or Eve?
Right.
Who's the N? What? No, it's none of that.
Very cool.
None of it.
Good. I don't have to worry about it anymore. Check.
Yeah. So can you two eat at the Purple Penguin restaurant where Carolyn asks Eve to meet her when she goes to recruit Eve as a spy? Well, yes and no. It's
really?
Not called the Purple Penguin.
Okay.
So at the time of filling, at filling? At the time of filling. At the time of filming, it was called Zela, Z-E-L-A. And then, oh no, maybe that's wrong. Nope, sorry. That's backwards. Let me start that part again.
Okay.
So can you eat at the Purple Penguin restaurant where Carolyn recruits Eve to come be a spy? Yes and no. So at the time it was filmed, it was called Cucina Asalina. And now it's called, well, in 2019 when this article from the London Eater was written, it was called Zela, Z-E-L-A. So
it you is can, there.
It's there. It's not called the Purple Penguin, but
that's a great name though.
It is a great name. And it's very fitting because when I was a kid, my parents had some friends from England and they used to send me gifts and just because, and they would always send me books and they were the books with the little penguin. It was the little penguin.
Yeah.
Books was the brand. They always sent me the same publisher books.
Right.
And it was always Little Penguin. So it totally fits
books.
For me. It's very on British brand for me.
That's funny. Yeah, her poor boyfriend.
Yeah. Oh, God. Poor Sebastian.
That was
taken care of. He was managed. You got to manage your boyfriend. Oh, there you go. I did it.
Well, there you go.
Oh, this is so great. So surely you can order that decadent throw from Italy by the designer Liliana Rosari, right?
I'm so glad you're going to say this because I want to know.
I'm really sorry, but you cannot.
Oh, bummer.
So Apartment Therapy talked to the set designer who did Villanelle's apartment. And that she basically said that you can't really use a real designer throw and then call it by somebody else's name.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a copyright issue. You can't just go to I guess it's a designer one. So you couldn't go to Kohl's. You would have to go somewhere fancier. And I don't know where
right.
the fancy places would be in Italy.
But that designer isn't real.
No, the designer's
okay. See,
not real at all.
I was wondering, is the designer real?
The designer's not real. And in fact, they couldn't just pick up any of the current ones and use it because that would be a copyright issue because then they're advertising for this designer or not advertising for the designer. They can't pick. Yeah. I mean, that's why they don't use their real name. They can't attribute it to somebody else. That's what I'm trying to say. So what they did is they found a vintage throw, an antique throw, that whose designer is unknown. It's no longer being made. That's what they used. So
nice.
You can't buy it. You have to go find something similar vintage.
Man, the one time you're like, product placement got me. I'm in. It's not a thing.
Nope, not a thing at all, unfortunately.
I mean, dadgummit.
Oh, well, write it down. Maybe it's another podcast idea.
Oh, no. We will never be okay for the podcast.
Oh, okay. Not this one. Yep. Maybe a different podcast altogether.
In a different life.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
All right, so we determined earlier that femoral artery damage is indeed very, very dangerous. And it's actually extremely difficult to treat even in a medical environment. So if they accidentally nick your femoral artery when you're in surgery, it's a challenging situation for them to deal with, let alone out what happens outside of a hospital when that right. when you have that kind of injury. But jiu-jitsu might actually be able to provide first responders to help victims more effectively in the field.
What? How? Yeah.
So there's EMS World had an article in 2019, Jiu-Jitsu Move May Save Lives of Trauma Victims, study shows. And basically they found that a maneuver called the knee mount, the knee ride, or knee on belly could help some of these large artery injuries.
Huh.
Yeah. So there's a large one in your shoulder called the brachial artery. And they found that if they did put a knee on that and cut it off, that they could stop like 97.5% of the blood from leaving.
Wow.
Now it's less effective for the femoral artery, but 78% of the time they could reduce it, and 55% of the time they could completely stop the bleeding when they use their knee to do that.
Wow.
To stop it. Yeah, like really great and helpful. So if you've got the EMS gets there and they realize that this mm-hmm. is happening, there's actually something they can do about it.
Right, because you maybe, can't tourniquet. That's the problem. There's no place to tourniquet. So what this is doing is it's finding a way to provide
yes.
a tourniquet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, they exactly talk about that citizen participants are taught how to apply tourniquets, and that this is the kind of thing that they might not necessarily teach volunteer.
Right.
But it's also much quicker than a tourniquet as well, that a typical tourniquet takes 60 to 87 seconds to apply. Okay. But this you can do like almost immediately. But you have to know exactly what you're doing because you can hurt people. But I guess if they're about to bleed out from a femoral artery, Nick, what's Why the not? Harm in trying? Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I thought that was really interesting. A jiu-jitsu move.
A jiu-jitsu
Nicely done.
Move.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, go play bridge and then tell us how you like it. We will all prepare so that when we retire to our beautiful resort-like retirement facilities, you know what? Then we'll have some fantastic bridge games.
It seems to me like bridge would be one of those games that's really good for keeping up your mental acuity. You know how they say mm-hmm. you're supposed to play like Sudoku and stuff?
Yeah.
Bridge totally seems like the kind of thing, because you kind of count the cards and mm-hmm. you know what's been played, and you have to make guesses about how many yeah, hands you're going to be able to win.
Predictions and mm-hmm. yes. And you have to make strategy. And
right. When you yeah. play them, because if you play it too late, even if you play the ace, man,
too late.
Yeah, it's too late because it didn't follow the suit, so you lose.
Right. I think you're right. That's probably a very helpful game.
Mm-hmm.
We'll open up our retirement community when we're older. And I won't call it the Golden Girls because they lived in a beautiful house, but the Golden Palace was a hotel. But I think we should make it a retirement resort called the Golden Palace, and then we will have bridge games.
Excellent.
Excellent.
We'll have bridge games and we'll wear 1980s old lady yes. clothes. It'll be
yes.
great.
Well, I want to wear all of Blanche's beautiful like kimonos. And,
yeah, her like caftans and things. Yeah.
I love them.
And I want wicker furniture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Most Absolutely. Definitely. But not any wicker furniture. I'm talking like the good stuff right there.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
We're not mm-hmm. going to get any of that cheap crap.
Oh, no, no. We got to have the nice stacked wicker with the fan. Yes.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go.
It'll be gorgeous.
Long Come enough to lay out on and have a nap.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Yeah. Perfect. All right. So next time. So.
It'll be fun. Join us. Listen or watch.
Don't don't forget, you can join us on social media on Twitter at Killer Fun Pod, on Facebook, Killer Fun Podcast, exploring the intersection of crime and entertainment, or you can send us an email, killerfunpodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We haven't been real busy on the social media because we've been kind of taking a break. It's been a little nice for us, but we still really love to hear from you. Next up, we have our outtakes from Memento, that backward movie that was so weird and interesting and fascinating and unusual. We released that episode on March the 4th of 2021. We have some trouble trying to say some people's names. We talk about the spinning top in Inception, another Christopher Nolan movie. We talk about how 2021 is 2020 part deux, a Brad Pitt connection. How emotions can make our memories both more intense and less reliable. It's all very confusing, but super interesting, and more. I gotta make sure I say his name right. I gotta say it in my head.
Yeah.
Pantoliano. There we go. Okay.
Right.
This, and especially like in Inception.
Oh, yeah.
You don't really know what's real. That's why the whole little spinny top thing.
Then he screws us over right at the end by not even showing us.
But I love, that's what I love. You screws us over. I'm like, it's perfect.
Well, I do like it. It still screws us over, but I still kind of like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. And those little tops, they're expensive.
Really?
Every once in a while, I'll get like advertisements for them.
That's so
I
funny.
Don't know why, but they're like $60.
Oh man!
I want to say for one of those little like
really good
because,
ones.
Well,
because they're perfectly balanced.
Yes, and that's the whole point. Is they're the special sort of
an
expensive
special
tchotchke, basically.
We're still there.
I know, it's just 2020 part deux.
Yeah.
Except it's not nearly as funny as whatever the movie was that had the part deux.
Oh, wait, what was that?
What was
part
that?
Duh. I don't remember, but I remember.
I can see all the people, Steve Martin.
Ah! I can't remember. I have no idea.
Was Lethal Weapon? No, not Lethal Weapon. That's wrong.
It's, no, you're right, but you're on the right track. It's I'm close. Hold on.
Hot Shots.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Part deux.
That was funny.
It was fun. I saw it in the movie theater and it was so raunchy
that's just
and
good
funny.
Fun. Oh. Blow my mind or whatever. So it's always fun to see. So I can't wait to see what you found for real life.
All right. Well, actually, we start with, is it true?
Oh, I meant to say, is it true?
That's all right.
I'll say it. Uh-huh. So let's go ahead and start with, is it true?
That's right. All right. So,
was it a name?
Yeah. Dan Verderosa was Guy Pearce always supposed to be Leonard? No.
Really?
Brad Pitt was initially slated to do it. He was interested in the part, but he passed because he had a conflict. And when Brad Pitt had to pass, they decided they wanted to go with somebody who was not a celebrity in the U.S. yet. They wanted to go with somebody unknown. And I was really like, Brad Pitt couldn't knock the socks off of this.
He probably could have.
Yeah.
Because he can be pretty deadpan.
But it might have been a little too close to like seven. Might have pigeonholed him a little bit.
I feel like maybe so. Because Guy Pearce is very unique looking. But it's really just that he's got these facial expressions where he has deadpan and then he has dramatic.
Right.
Whereas I know Brad Pitt can be dramatic. But I don't. Well, I don't know. He would have done great. The film would have been great. But you know what? I like Guy Pearce.
Yeah, I like Guy Pearce too.
Yeah, I'm glad that happened.
Yeah. Well, and emotion, we normally think of emotion as something that causes us to remember things more clearly.
Yes, that's true.
Sometimes, but it can also make our memories less reliable.
In some ways, yes. Yeah. Don't you love science? Yeah. This is why Fauci gets so much crap.
Yes,
because you can't exactly say anything definite. You can say the research shows, the research supports, and the more you know, the more you have to navigate.
Right.
That's how you have to go about it. You can't, there's no silver bullet. There's no like definite answers. That's not how science works.
Right.
And so talk about, this is why 2020 is hard. Mm-hmm. So yes and no. So talk about what you found.
Yeah. So Dan Verderosa wrote an article for the Ithaca College website about their assistant professor, Brandy Bissett Simmons, who was doing research into this and kind of found that emotion might actually do more harm than good. So under certain circumstances, it can cause you to have a little flash memory. Mm-hmm. It's very intense. You pay hyper attention to what's happening around you. But it can also color it later and make it less reliable than it might otherwise be. So for example, if you have an assault victim and you give them a lineup that's a null lineup, which means the assailant is not there at all, they're more likely, because of their emotion, to pick somebody out.
Right.
Because they want to get that person.
Right.
Their need to have their assailant apprehended is so intense that they'll pick somebody out of a lineup who was not their assailant.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. This is where like our motivations and needs interact with our memory.
Mm-hmm.
This is the lie to yourself thing.
Yes. Yep.
Yep. We're very easily suggestible.
Yes.
It's so easy to suggest something and have it tweaked.
Right.
But apart from a suggestion, when like a traumatic event occurs, people are more often, they can remember more for longer generally speaking.
Right.
If they're not subjected to a lineup, if they're not subjected to all that. So like people who were actually at the Twin Towers on 9/11, their memory of it was longer and more detailed and more accurate than people who weren't. But people who were emotionally affected by it for one reason or another are the same as being there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But they're also not having that suggestible kind of thing going on where they're being subjected to, you know, a lineup and tell us this and tell us, well, was it this or was it that?
Right.
Right. That kind of stuff. Like, you got to wait a second.
Right.
Like,
yeah,
that's hard.
Well, and a lot of studies previously had done, their experiments had involved photographs.
Yes.
And they had involved photographs of things.
Mm-hmm.
And Bassett Simmons had found that false memories were more likely to be elicited by pictures of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, you know, that's a confound that the earlier researchers hadn't even thought to.
Yeah, like a whole other aspect they didn't even think about.
Right.
Because we're not only, I mean, with faces, it's so hard because if you're saying, okay, look at this and tell me which one's the assailant, and you've got one that's kind of happier and one that's kind of more aggressive. Hello.
Yeah.
Right. Or confirmation bias. You just tend to pick people for whatever reason that prejudices you have. It's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Right.
Yeah. So emotion makes memory better and worse. Yay. Yeah. Yay science.
Yeah. Yay science. So Leonard used a credit card to break into a hotel room.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he did.
Yeah. It's possible, but it has to be just the right kind of lock. And
yeah.
I would say those locks are becoming increasingly less common.
Yeah, I don't think you could. I mean, maybe an old door in your house, like
maybe
a closet.
Maybe at the Discount Inn.
Maybe the Discount Inn. Yeah.
I mean, it's really not the Art of Lock Picking website. Ooh. Says, not the best way. You have to choose the right kind of card. That credit cards are fairly easily damaged, so you probably don't want to use them for this, basically. But they're also tend to be a little too stiff. So you might want to use old hotel keys or insurance cards, things that are a thinner sort of plastic to do that. It has to be just the right kind of lock. It has to be facing the right way.
Right, so that you can slide it in.
Right.
Yeah. He made that look real easy.
Yeah, he did. Though I thought it was really ingenious how he did that at a room. He wanted to see if anybody was in the room, and he like shimmied open the door and then knocked. And when he saw
light
come or get hidden by the peephole.
Right. Then he knew.
Then he knew to kick open the door. And of course he kicks open the wrong door the first time.
So funny.
Because he inverted the numbers.
Yeah. I mean, it's hysterical.
Yeah. Felt a little bad for that person, but you know, they got paid to be there. It wasn't, they were just an extra in a movie. Yeah. I have to remind myself of that sometimes. This last set of outtakes is from our episode on crime scene murder at the Cecil Hotel that came out on March the 18th of 2021. More flubs because it always happens. We talked about the first couple episodes of Crime Scene, and later they talk about Morbid, a heavy metal singer man who was accused of murder at the Cecil Hotel, and kind of how that affected his life and how that mirrors what happened to Richard Jewell, the supposed bomber in Atlanta who was accused wrongly, and how that kind of affects people's lives. Jackie pours a little coffee on herself. There's some talk of the Black Dahlia, lawsuits about dumping inmates and patients after they're released from whatever place that they've been in and how challenging that is. And, you know, a little Dogus Interruptus and more. Welcome back to Killer Fun, where we explore the inter... Is it not recording?
No, you're good, I think.
Oh, okay.
Well, check.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's fine. One shows up louder than the other.
Okay, just as long as that's
good. I give you the one that you speak louder than
I
do.
Yes, I do, so yes.
And I speak louder than Josh, so when he and I record, I swap. So yeah, it's
that
a
makes
whole,
sense.
Yeah, and I can adjust it.
Of course.
So if it's,
I know you can. I just saw zero, so I was like, oh, okay, is it gotten it?
Here, I can
turn it. I was just looking. I wasn't looking at the waveform. I'm looking at the...
Yeah. Yes, that one's... I don't know.
No, it's
They're
fine.
Different. It's
I'm looking at the input, not the wave.
Okay.
You see
okay.
what I'm talking about?
Yes.
The green.
Yes.
I'm just checking that. Check. You're good.
I can adjust it if it's... Yeah.
Okay. I know.
Okay.
You're good.
Okay.
All right, let's do it.
All right. Much like the case, it profiles Netflix crime scene vanishing at the Cecil Hotel is not at what it... Let me start that again.
There's like some, you know, little... Well, for what's the one... there's a musical. Anyway, I digress.
And it's not in the first episode, but... Later, there's Morbid, who's a musical artist that they talk about, and he gets dinged by the internet trolls, and it's like, I don't know if you've gotten that far
yet. No,
you
haven't.
Okay, so I can kind of see where he's coming from when you get to that part.
Okay.
But Morbid talked to the filmmakers. He was very open and honest about how these... people from the internet who decided that he'd done it, even though he clearly did not, how it affected his life and changed his life. And he was open and spoke to them. So I would see them including that if they hadn't spoken to him, how he might be victimized yet again. Mm-hmm. But this was almost, I felt like a chance for him to like share.
Well, like people who are wrongly accused often get, you know, slammed in the media and the public opinion.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people's lives are... Look at Richard Jewell. Can we just take a minute with Richard Jewell? Like the Atlanta, the Olympic bomber,
oh,
quote
that
unquote.
Guy, yes.
I
yes,
mean,
yes,
like,
yes.
Talk about lives ruined over public opinion. And
yes.
So, yeah, it's a commentary on the internet, but I think we always have to remember the internet is just one more platform for humans to show their true selves. We cannot go around blaming the internet for people being crappy people. Just because we've given them a bullhorn and they got louder, it's no different than giving them a Facebook page so they can type it out. If you're an angry, awful, ugly, untruthful, and unkind person, it's just kind of who you are.
Well,
you could type it or you could say it to my face and I will see it either way.
Yeah, but they won't say it to your face. So you just don't know. I mean, I guess it's kind of, it sucks because we get to see the worst in humanity, but it's also kind of a blessing because people that seemed really mm-hmm. like nice and kind and caring, maybe it was all an act. And isn't it better to know that it's all an act?
Yeah. Well, I definitely appreciate manners and politeness because that covers a multitude of bad character.
Right.
Right. In the public sphere. And I appreciate that. It keeps life moving smoothly. But the people who are closest to these people are going to experience their bad character.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like, so it's going to come out. It may not come face to face with me, stranger, the same way a stranger might see it on the media. But I guarantee their family has been the victim of these people's harsh judgment and whatever's. But also, we're always the victim of somebody's mistake.
Well, and that's true.
Somebody is the victim of our mistakes, you know, mm-hmm. and politeness keeps it out of the public sphere, which we appreciate. But, you know, and maybe the platform amplifies that to a degree, but it doesn't change the fact that it's not the platform's fault.
Fair.
Facebook didn't make you do it.
It amplified it. It gave horrible people a forum in which to spread their whatever white supremacy, racism, yeah. hatred, conspiracy or theories, whatever. Whatever. But that was always that person to begin with. And maybe we should see it as that we're fortunate that we get to see some of that stuff.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I'm like, okay, note to self, mm-hmm. you know, beware. Don't get closer to that person. Frankly, I mean, but that whole like, oh, they made me do it. It was just because I was wrapped up in that. It was just because I texted that awful thing instead of said it to your face that it came across badly. Maybe not. Maybe just what you said was crappy.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like, maybe not.
Does that mean you don't believe the things that you put on the internet? Because it really seems like you believe them with all those exclamation points.
It's just, you know what? They made me do it. Didn't work when you were kids, and it doesn't work as an adult. Okay,
it didn't work. The devil made me do it.
Thank you.
Never really been a good excuse for never. Much of anything.
Anything.
All right.
I digress.
We're gonna take a quick break.
We can take out our digression into the horribleness of humans.
I don't know. Maybe it's cathartic for somebody to hear that
maybe
we're...
Maybe it is.
That we're...
I guess I'm really sick and tired of that being the excuse.
Well,
it just came across wrong because it was text instead of speaking.
No.
Well, if you had to speak it, you probably then... What you're saying is you would have thought about it better and realized that what that sounded like was awful, and you would have changed it, which means maybe you should have just thought it and then wrote it differently. Stop blaming the media. There is a very good amount of problems and miscommunication that happens in media that is not rich. I get that, but this miscommunication is not the same thing as hurtfulness, offensive, ugly, and unkind.
You know, why didn't everybody take everything wrong because it was just in print when all we had were newspapers and letters.
Right? Exactly. The same people who blame the freaking text think that the Constitution is inspired by God. I'm sorry. It seems like your faith in the written word is a little convenient.
Your faith in the written word's convenient. It's pot freaking on.
It's been one of those weeks.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Oh gosh. Okay.
All right.
There we go. you want me to do it? Yeah, do the thing. Okay.
Yeah, first. Yeah.
Wait, okay. Last step.
Do you need a... Do you need to pour that on your face? Would you like water and more coffee or anything? Okay.
Do the you'll go in the wash later.
Because that's fine.
At least my boob catches it.
No, you know.
Alrighty.
Boob, crotch, it lands somewhere.
Yep. Well, yeah, very rarely gets through.
Yeah, mine either.
You know? All right. Okay. It's a big crumb catcher. All right, here we go. I'm Bill Ellis. Welcome back. Thanks for staying with us through that short break. We are coming into our Is It True psychology break and real world, real life. And this is the deal. If you are new to us, you don't need to... Blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
I said real world and I...
That's fine.
It's because they have a freaking reunion going on right now.
Yes. Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah, on Paramount Plus, yeah. Which was CBS All Access, which was... And now Josh is coming home. Which is, who the hell is paying for this?
Yeah, right.
I don't even know. Trekkies and people who want to see the world, real world reunion. That's those it. Are the people who are watching this.
That's right.
Who
That's
are exactly who've subscribing to a single month of Paramount Plus.
Yeah, just for the real world. Okay, cool. Okay. All right.
There's some guy, his dad was a dentist, or his grandfather was a dentist, and he's pretty sure his dad or grandfather, whomever... A family member who was a dentist murdered the Black Dahlia based on things, but he can't prove it, and so it remains unsolved. Ooh. Yeah, it's weird. So why crazy. Would you, like, want to go on public and say, I'm the descendant of a murderer?
I don't know.
I mean, I guess... I mean, some people do it and do it well, and yeah. They're not, you know, horrible, awful people. Like, yeah. Carrie Rawson seems like a perfectly nice individual.
Yeah. I don't know why you would do it.
I don't
know. Except
maybe
you just need to get it off your chest. Right. You just can't live with that or by yourself.
Just want to give somebody some closure. There's so many people who've wondered about who murdered her.
Yeah.
And then there were a couple other things I was going to talk about in psychology.
Yeah.
Just... that there were a couple of lawsuits, and I thought they kind of fit best here. Mm. So in 2015, a whole group of former inmates filed a lawsuit against the Los Angeles County Jail because they were not providing good release services to people. So there was dumping. Mm-hmm. They were just take a busload of people who were being released from jail or prison and put them out on the street on Skid Row thinking, well, there's a lot of services here. Maybe this is the best place to leave them. And they were supposed to provide them with a release plan. Mm-hmm. And one of the former inmates said that it was really ineffective and that their discharge planning was just a list of providers and pushing them out the van door.
Oh, so sad.
This poor guy said there are maybe 50 places on the list and I didn't know which one would be good for me. Mentally, I wasn't in a place where I could figure out who to call or where to go, so I just threw the list away.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's horrible. And not only are they doing this for inmates, but for people, mentally ill people being released from hospitals.
And this is so sad because especially with something like major depressive disorder or bipolar 2 or any of them, but the highest risk for suicide time-wise is in the first few days after release.
Yeah. Yeah. Hospitals are known to do this. Advocates say it's been happening for over 20 years where they just go and put them, and a bunch of Los Angeles area hospitals have settled so that they didn't have to go to court. The Union Rescue Mission, Reverend Andy Bates was the CEO in 2016 at the time when this Vice article was written. Mm-hmm. And he said it got so bad that they had to set up video cameras to because they would catch hospitals just putting not only mentally ill, but chronically ill patients just out the door. And that there was one woman who kept going in and out of the hospital, and the particular hospital discharged her and dropped her on Skid Row 8 different times without a discharge plan.
I mean, that's just negligent.
I mean,
it's negligent.
And it's not, she was in and out of the hospital 8 times. Mm-hmm. That's not saving anybody any money.
Oh, no.
Saving people money would be, okay, we're going to put a little money at this the first time and get her the help she needs.
Yep. I mean, you run into issues. And I know that the hospitals, especially those who deal in psychiatric disorders, it's very difficult. because they run up against issues of compliance and autonomy. And by law, you don't have to comply with these things.
No.
Which means they can do everything they can, but if the person is non-compliant, they have no choice but to let them just walk out the door.
Right.
So if your best option is let them out the front door, maybe you let them out the front door at Skid Row where you know at least there's a mission and there's a this and there's a that and hope somebody else can convince them otherwise. But the truth is that this is the complexity of helping a population who is, well, not able to help themselves. Mm-hmm. And not able to make good decisions about themselves, but you don't want to risk confining them and starting, like, psychiatric concentration camps either.
Right. The homelessness issue, it's a fine line to walk.
It is a really fine line.
You don't want to imprison people who are merely ill.
Right.
But sometimes they need more help and they're not able to make that choice for themselves.
Exactly. So how do you help somebody be less overwhelmed and able to make a good choice? How do you respect autonomy and create spaces for them to exist in ways that don't harm themselves or others? How do you create policy that takes history into account? So like this person, if they had a documented history of her being non-compliant in and out of the hospital for that many times, maybe then there's a way to say, okay, at this point, we get to take a little control.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe we, if with a little bit more control, we might be able to break through the non-compliance to a better place. Maybe the state could be given a little bit more opportunity in that way, but that's dangerous.
Well, it's dangerous. It's dangerous too, and it's dangerous to not.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, it's just like there's not a net set up to catch these people and give them a in-between space mm-hmm. that still feels safe, it's but true. Gives them some freedom. And it's just, it's challenging.
Well, and I will mention one other thing is that with a lot of the psychiatric distal illnesses, yes, bipolar, yeah, there's a lot of that who are, you know, in the homeless community, sure, a lot of depression, sure. But actually, a lot of the issues you also run into are diagnoses which are characterized by some level of antisocial behavior.
Yeah.
Okay, you're not going to convince somebody who has antisocial behavior to be compliant in certain ways.
Right, because the whole very point nature, is to...
yeah, the very nature of their entire, you know, mindset kind of runs right against everything you're trying to do to help them. Like, you're like, I just want to provide a safe place. And they're like, oh, it's safe? That sounds like fun to wreck.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know, that's an extreme stereotypical example. But just to kind of put some 2020 color on it, you know, like mm-hmm. that's kind of like, okay. So yeah. If you have dimension of antisocial behavior, that situation becomes even more complex.
Well, and it's complex for the people that you're trying to help who have the antisocial behavior and for all the other people who aren't antisocial, who just want a safe place yes, to land exactly. gets broken by these people.
Exactly. I mean, yeah.
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 It's challenging. So the Cecil Hotel has uh-huh. 700 rooms.
Yeah, that's I mean, wow.
That's like twice the average
it's enormous. Hotel.
It's enormous. It's twice the average for a luxury or upscale hotel, which typically have around 325, 330 rooms. That's the average.
Yeah.
And the lower economy ones mm-hmm. tend to only have 75 or 80 rooms. So 700 rooms
yeah.
for an economy hotel, which is what this is.
Right.
Like.
That was insane.
It was.
Which is why they, when they divided it into two properties, two hotels right. to get around the, you know, work order issues and all of that kind of stuff, she actually made it a more manageable hostel an economy hotel
right.
by doing that because she just selected a decent amount of rooms.
Right.
And then they could keep up with that for that. And all the rest were the...
Yeah, the long-timers.
Long-timers. And yeah. that's just a different business altogether. So...
Mm-hmm. So they mentioned that some people live in hotels.
Yeah,
and I was like, I didn't really ever think about that. And so somebody on Quora asked why people might do that. And they somebody answered and said, you know, there's a lot of reasons. They might not be able to meet the requirements. You have to pass a credit check. You might not have first, last, and deposit. You know, there's it can be a sizable amount of money that you need to be able to rent somewhere. Yeah. Might not be able to come up with that. And then if somebody has a past eviction,
it could be very much hard to get a place to rent.
Right, because that shows up when people do the background check, and it can be extremely difficult. I know when we had a rental house, our management company that would bring us potential renters wouldn't bring us even anybody who'd ever had a eviction.
Right.
And, you know, eviction sounds like, oh, awful landlord doing awful things to, it's but really eviction.
Sorry, the puppy had to say hello.
She did. Yeah, she was like, y'all have been talking for a while. I need some love.
Okay.
There we go. All right, that's it. We have one more episode of Outtakes, and then we'll be back with you for fresh new content. But as I've said before, our Outtakes episode are all things that you've never heard before. But you know, do rate and review wherever you get your podcasts. Tell a friend, because it's way more fun when you can listen with a friend. And until next time, be safe, be kind, and wash your hands.
Bum, bum, bum. Bum, bum. Da, 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 da.